Zechariah chapter 2, verses 6 to 9, quoted, a little heated appeal. How sad it is to contemplate that this touching appeal met with so little response. Had this entreaty to flee from Babylon been heeded, how different might have been the condition of the Jews in the trying times of Mordecai and Esther. The Lord's purposes for His people have ever been the same. He desires to bestow on the children of men the riches of an eternal inheritance. The kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. When those who choose to become obedient subjects of the Most High are finally saved in the kingdom of glory, God's purpose for mankind will have been fulfilled. Review and Herald, December 26, 1907. Chapter 3, verse 1. Same work today. Joshua is represented as pleading with the angel. Are we engaged in the same work? Are our supplications ascending to God in living faith? Are we opening the door of the heart to Jesus and closing every means of entrance to Satan? Are we daily obtaining clearer light and greater strength that we may stand in Christ's righteousness? Are we emptying our hearts of all selfishness and cleansing them preparatory to receiving the latter rain from heaven? Now is the time when we are to confess and forsake our sins, that they may go beforehand to judgment and be blotted out. Review and Herald, November 19, 1908. Verses 1 to 3, false accuser. Those who honor God and keep His commandments are subject to the accusations of Satan. The enemy works with all his energy to lead persons into sin. Then he pleads that on account of their past sins, he should be allowed to exercise his hellish cruelty on them as his own subjects. Of this work Zechariah has written, and he showed me Joshua, the high priest, a representative of the people who keep the commandments of God, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Christ is our high priest. Satan stands before him night and day as an accuser of the brethren. With his masterly power, he presents every objectionable feature of character as sufficient reason for the withdrawal of Christ's protecting power, thus allowing Satan to discourage and destroy those whom he has caused to sin. But Christ has made atonement for every sinner. Can we by faith hear our advocate saying, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee? Is this not a brand plucked out of the fire? Bible Commentary, Zechariah 3.
Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. Thus sinners appear before the enemy, who by his masterly deceptive power has led them away from allegiance to God. With garments of sin and shame, the enemy clothes those who have been overpowered by his temptations, and then he declares that it is unfair for Christ to be their light, their defender. Manuscript 25, 1901. Verse 4. Self-admiration results from ignorance. All self-exaltation and self-admiration are the result of ignorance of God and of Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. How quickly will self-esteem die and pride be humbled in the dust when we view the matchless charms of the character of Christ? The holiness of His character is reflected by all who serve Him in spirit and in truth. If our lips have need of cleansing, if we realize our destitution and come to God in contrition of heart, the Lord will remove the uncleanness. He will say to His angel, take away the filthy garments and clothe him with a change of raiment. Review and Herald, December 22, 1896. Verses 4 and 5, a change of raiment. Poor repentant mortals, hear the words of Jesus and believe as you hear. And he answered the accusing charge of Satan, and spake unto those angels that stood before him to do his bidding, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. I will blot out his transgressions. I will cover his sins. I will impute to him my righteousness. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. The filthy garments are removed, for Christ says, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. The iniquity is transferred to the innocent, the pure, the holy Son of God, and man, all undeserving, stands before the Lord, cleansed from all unrighteousness, and clothed with the imputed righteousness of Christ. Oh, what a change of raiment is this! And Christ does more than this for them. Zechariah 3:5 quoted, This is the honor that God will bestow on those who are clothed with the garments of Christ's righteousness. With such encouragement as this, how can men continue in sin? How can they grieve the heart of Christ? Manuscript 125, 1901, verses 4 to 7, an experience being reenacted. Zechariah 3, 4 to 7, quoted, the one who was clothed with filthy garments represents those who have committed wrongs, but who have come into so sincere a position of repentance that the Lord, who forgives all sins that are repented of, was satisfied. Satan seeks to place in a humiliating position those who have truly repented of their sins, and those who are continuing in a wrong course of action are prompted by Satan to tantalize the one who has repented. Men who have gone to great lengths in transgression and who have never confessed their sins will seek to bring all the reproach possible upon those whom Satan has worked to destroy, but who have repented and humbled themselves before God, confessing their sins to the sin-pardoning Savior and receiving pardon. Men who have not repented of their sins and have not received pardon will tantalize the truly repentant ones, repeating their wrongdoing to those who knew nothing of the wrong done. They accuse and condemn the repentant ones as if they themselves were guiltless. It has been shown me that the experience recorded in the third chapter of Zechariah is now being acted over and will continue to be while men, making profession of cleanness, refuse to humble the heart and confess their sins. Letter 360, 1906. Chapter 4, verses 6, 7, and 10. Assume power is not God's strength. This chapter is full of encouragement for those who do the work of the Lord in the last days. Zerubbabel had gone to Jerusalem to build the house of the Lord, but he was compassed with difficulties. His adversaries weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building, and made them to cease by force and power, but the Lord interposed in their behalf, and the house was finished. The very same difficulties which were created to hinder the restoration and upbuilding of the work of God, the great mountains of difficulty which loomed in Zerubbabel's way, will be met by all who today are loyal to God and to His work. Many human inventions are used to carry out plans after the mind and will of men with whom God is not working, but it is not boastful words nor a multitude of ceremonies that show that the Lord is working with His people. The assumed power of the human agent does not decide this question. Those who place themselves in opposition to the Lord's work may hinder for a time, but the same Spirit that has guided the Lord's work all the way through will guide it today, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord would have every soul strong in His strength. He would have us look to Him, receiving our directions from Him. Review and Herald, May 16, 1899, verses 11 to 14. Oil purifies the soul. We all need to study as never before the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. This is the holy oil represented in Zechariah. This representation is of the highest consequence to those who claim to know the truth. But if we do not practice the truth, we have not received the holy oil, which the two golden pipes empty out of themselves. The oil is received into vessels prepared for the oil. It is the Holy Spirit in the heart, which works by love and purifies the soul. Satan is working with all his hellish power to quench that light which should burn brightly in the soul and shine forth in good works. The words of God to Zechariah show from whence the holy golden oil comes, and its bright light which the Lord kindles in the chambers of the soul gives light through good works to the world. Satan will work to quench the light God has for every soul by casting his shadow across the pathway to intercept every ray of heavenly light. He knows that his time is short. The people of God must cleave to God, else they will lose their bearings. If they cherish hereditary and cultivated traits of character that misrepresent Christ while professedly His disciples, they are represented by the man coming to the gospel feast without having on the wedding garment, and by the foolish virgins which had no oil in their vessels with their lamps. We must cleave to that which God pronounces to be truth, although the whole world may be arrayed against it. Manuscript 140, 1901. Oil conveyed through messages, Zechariah 4, 1-3 and 11-14, quoted, by the holy beings surrounding his throne, the Lord keeps up a constant communication with the inhabitants of the earth. The golden oil represents the grace with which God keeps the lamps of believers supplied. Were it not that this holy oil is poured from heaven in the messages of God's Spirit, the agencies of evil would have entire control over men. God is dishonored when we do not receive the communications that he sends us. Thus we refuse the golden oil which he would pour into our hearts to be communicated to those in darkness. Review and Herald, February 3, 1903. Word flows into messengers' hearts. Zechariah 4:11-14 quoted. These empty themselves into the golden bowls which represent the hearts of the living messengers of God, who bear the word of the Lord to the people in warnings and entreaties. The word itself must be as represented, the golden oil emptied from the two olive trees that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit with fire. This will open the soul of unbelievers to conviction. The wants of the soul can be met only by the working of the Holy Spirit of God. Man can of himself do nothing to satisfy the longings and meet the aspirations of the heart. Manuscript 109, 1897, verse 12. To constantly receive, one must constantly impart. The capacity for receiving the holy oil from the two olive trees which empty themselves is by the receiver emptying the holy oil out of himself in word and in action to supply the necessities of other souls. Work, precious, satisfying work, to be constantly receiving and constantly imparting. The capacity for receiving is only kept up by imparting. Chapter 8, verses 7-13, spiritual restoration coming. The work of which the prophet Zechariah writes is a type of the spiritual restoration to be wrought for Israel before the end of time. Letter 42, 1912. Chapter 9, verses 12-17, responsible for darkness. The darkness of the Gentile world was attributable to the neglect of the Jewish nation, as is represented in the ninth chapter of Zechariah. Zechariah 9, 12-17, quoted, the whole world is embraced in the contract of the great plan of redemption. Manuscript 65, 1912, verse 16, Christ's reward. Zechariah 9:16, Ephesians 1:18, Isaiah 53:11, quoted, Christ looks upon his people in their purity and perfection as the reward of all his sufferings, his humiliation and his love and the supplement of his glory. Christ, the great center, from whom radiates all glory.